This is Steve Sherlock with another internet radio show or podcast for Franklin Matters. This is number 133 in the series. This audio captures and shares the recording of the Franklin Mass School Committee budgeting workshop held October 10th, 2017. Chairman Kevin O'Malley opens the meeting with an overview of the format, discussing budgeting for the next fiscal year. There are no numbers to review, per se. Time would be spent discussing and developing goals for what should be prioritized, etc. There is reference along the way to some documents, which were part of the package for the committee. Some of those documents were also shown on the overhead projector. The documents released are contained in the PDF file, which is associated with this post. Much discussion was around how to communicate this information to tell the story of the Franklin school budget with the Franklin community. What it has lost, what it needs, what can be done to prepare our students for their future. The meeting itself runs about an hour and 20 minutes. So without further ado, here is the recording.
Why don't we officially call the meeting to order at 7:04? Couple of preliminary things. This is a workshop, which means we don't have to go through the chair to make comments. We don't have to have formal interactions with motions and say what is on your mind, and we will move forward. Public is invited in this format to speak to issues as we go along, and. We have a meeting here which is not budget in the traditional sense. This is a workshop planning event for budgeting. We don't have any numbers. We don't pretend to have any numbers going forward. And if you ever work in budgets in this state and thought you could guess them, you're wrong, because you can't. Real numbers don't come up till the end of January, even though they should come out January 2nd, because that's what the law says, and we don't know what the federal situation is. We know what the town thing is. So we're here as a planning, that's what the workshop is all about, to prepare the process of budgeting, because we think it's going to be significant. We have three people coming onto the committee in a month, and we want to make sure we're prepared for their entry, whoever he or she may be. And hopefully those of you who are here will be here as the stored knowledge to share it with them. But that is coming for tonight. We have the first song. Order of business is called budget priorities. It's really like goals. What do we want to spend our money on? Big picture, knowing this can change, knowing that when we, as a superintendent, finds this and that in her travels around the school, she may be more interested in a budget priority to come instead of one that's here now. We're not to be bound by this, but we're just trying to plan for this and get ready for this. That's more talking than I plan to do, woman. But here I am, talking away. And it's not even recorded. What's up with that?
Oh, it is then.
Well, see, I was waiting for Diddy. It's not recorded in terms of TV, which is your real recording. That's how you become famous. Anne?
Yeah, I just was going to just say that, sort of give a little bit of history about the reason for this is we as a committee had met over the summer and had a sort of a, what do you call it, a summer retreat one day and established sort of some areas that we as with the superintendent, with Sarah, had said, what are the big issues? And then we said, if we really want to work together as a committee, what are the things we might want to have workshops on? And one of the suggestions came that one of the first things we would want to do was really kind of look at all of the data, and then from there, sort of establish what are we budgeting for, you know, and finding ways to communicate to the public as succinctly and transparently as possible. this is what we stand for as a school system, these are our goals, we want the budget to reflect it. But and as Sarah and Kevin can attest to, just speaking, for example, with the senior citizens, one thing they said is, just give us the information, be as transparent as possible. We'll support you, but we want to know what it is that you're spending the money on, and communicate with us about that. And so anyway, that's the whole purpose of this, is looking at all the data. We had, as a subcommittee, had asked Miriam and Sarah, can you just give us a lot of the data to look at that you have now? And then from there, maybe we can, I know I'm talking a lot, but I just wanted to cover what we talked about this summer. I sound like I don't mean to do that, but you know, as much data that and very specific data that we were looking at, enrollment data, we were looking at stuff we've lost over the years, stuff we want to bring back, whatever the, and we had, over the summer, had isolated a few goals that we had talked about. Technology, we had looked about communication two-way, we had talked about personalized learning, we had talked about a focus on consistency across all grade levels in grading, and a big picture is just forming inclusive schools. That was some of a starting point. But then, as Sarah was mentioning, looking at all the data, see if there are other goals we want to look at. So that's the big thing, is the communication piece being crucial, getting out there and getting a head start on communicating to the public. So anyway, that's sort of the background for this. And we wanted to capture the history of the people who are not running for re-election, who have years of history, what budgets, they know what we had, they know what we lost. We don't want to lose their voices, that's all. So that's, again, the reason for having it this early in the process, so.
That translated as they're old.
Yeah, that's it, that was all.
We have, we've done some work this summer, so I don't think we need to redo that. Would you go over that list again?
Yeah, well, this is, when we had generated a list, we had just said these are some of the priorities. And under, when we talk about personalized learning, learning outcomes that are beyond standardized tests, and we include that, the whole child, which is under that, is really counselors was a high priority need for us in terms of one of the things that we fit under that umbrella of personalized learning. We talked about technology, technology integration, student use, communication. That was a huge thing. This isn't really a budget issue, but we had put as a priority monitoring the effectiveness of the homework policy. You know, the homework policy had put in place, is it working? And we, you know, and as I said, inclusive schools, that was a big one that had in our school improvement plans and the district improvement plan, inclusive schools has become a huge issue as well. So when we look at the things, that's what we had talked about over the summer. That may change given feedback that other people have gathered, but that's what we kind of talked about. So that was that list.
So where do we go with this? Do we want to kick around ideas for more budget priorities, for more goals, or we want to get into some of the data that Sarah has put together in terms of informing budgeting going forward? This is as good a packet as I've seen since I've been on the committee in terms of data that we can use to inform decisions that are upcoming.
Well, there's two groups that really need to be educated. One, the fact that there's going to be a minimum of three new school committee members who do not have public school experience with budgeting. And so getting the information to them for them to fully understand this process so that they are informed about the limitations of being a school committee member. And, you know, as much as going to one of the MASC charting the course workshops helps with basic understanding of things like state funding and those kinds of topics, it's not something that you learn in one day or one year. And so I think when you come in as somebody thinking that this is going to be a policy making, budget driving group, understanding the limitations for that group is one piece that we need to come to terms with as far as timeline and how we're going to make sure that those people are communicated with early enough into the process so that all of them can be informed in the decision making. The other group that I think that we really have to talk about is that group, the communication to the community, how we're going to tell our story about the limitations Franklin has. the 2 years that I've been on school committee and the previous years as a parent and an educator in Franklin, you know, it's very clear to those of us who are in education, who are in the district on a regular basis, that this district does incredible things because of the educators in this system and because of the parents in this community and their dedication to education. But the realities of a level funded budget, meaning that cuts have to happen because of contractual obligations, rising healthcare costs, special education costs, those things that we can't control, technology taking up an ever increasing amount of the budget. All of those budget drivers, the fact that those are the big budget drivers and that those mean that the reality is the pool for everything else gets ever smaller and therefore ever decreased is a story we have to get out there. Because if we don't get that story out there, people say, and this is what people always say, it was good enough for me. You're getting more money. So why is that bigger pool not enough? Well, that bigger pool doesn't cover the increasing costs. Like that just, that message needs to be got out there. Mm-hmm. That's critical. Yep. Because if we can't tell that story, the realities of what's happening in our school, it is not gonna hit home with the families. They'll come to us and say, we need more counselors. We all recognize we need more counselors. They come to us and say, we want to look at this option for transportation or timing of schools or these kinds of differentiated opportunities or personalized learning. Like, these are all great things, but they all come at a cost, a financial cost. And how we manage that with that small pool of money is the real challenge we face. And getting that message to the community, if you want these things, and that's what we've said in our coffees over and over again. People say to us, what do? We're coming to you telling you we want this, we want that. Well, if we want that, we need money. Like, unless we're cutting something else, and I don't know what else we can trim. Miriam, any ideas?
Denise was gonna say something.
Yeah, so just to piggyback on and touch on what Vanessa said, I think that we already are working on some sort of onboarding documents for the new members. We know we'll have several new members, and it's a lot to absorb and take in as a new member. And so I think we all did a lot of work of going to MESC budget workshops and that sort of thing. So I think that our joining members will be in good position there. But I do think that it's important to point out this new committee that we just established, the Public Schools Advocacy, in conjunction with the Community Relations Committee. I think we can do some fantastic work, and I hope we do fantastic work going forward in having a community dialogue about these budget issues that we're facing. So we've put, knowing that this is coming, I think this committee has done some important groundwork on laying that, conversation to be had in the coming months.
I think you both make good senses. This is a town that supports education, but resources have never been fully made available to the institution, whether whatever the reason that is. It's like any town doesn't have as much resources as it would like. So, how we go about it. A thought I had today, talking to Dan, is we should almost take the budget in the same mode as we take an override and have house parties and just go out of our way to reach out to people and try to give them the story. We should have a common fact sheet goal set up to take with us as we go out. It all become ambassadors. I don't think we can sit back and wait for good things to happen, because people like the schools and they say positive things, but we don't engage them at the level we need for them to make the pressure happen on the town council, for instance. So we need to take another step. And I'm not telling you I know the next step, but it has to be taken. I think the committees we set up are good things to set up. There's no question.
I think that dialogue is important, that we hone a message about, I think we need to capture capture all that's lost. You know, there was just discussion today on Facebook about, you know, arts and language. And, you know, I remember, because my kids are old enough, but I remember when, you know, elementary language was offered, foreign language, and it's not. So new people coming to town that they're, you know, just entering, they're like, oh, where's the foreign language? We need to have the conversation that that used to be in the budget, has long since been cut out of the budget at that level. And even the options in the middle levels. We need to have that in our dialogue, because that helps to drive the point about, you know, we don't want to lose services. I'm not saying that we're going to find money to add foreign language at the K-5, but we had them and we lost them because of budgetary constraints out of our control.
Well, certain schools in town do have foreign language at the elementary level.
Well, not in our district.
Yes, but schools that are taking $4.1 million from our budget.
Well, right, and there's an impact on those children when they enter the high school and the languages that are offered there.
Yeah.
For those children.
So. I think Sarah's point too is well taken. In addition to all that we've lost, it's the idea of also getting the message that we have to protect the investment that we've made.
Absolutely.
Because we also have to let people know we have a pretty good product here, because we can't, people see it. They see that, they listen to the, you know, school committee, they see these great educators we have and these leaders and the wonderful things that are happening. They see the great kids in our town and the schools that they're going to. There's a message as well, and that's part of this, the focus of this workshop is, what is the message when we go out to the community, when we go to the Harvest Fest, where we want to present and we have community forums, what's the message that we want to get out? And right from day one, it's getting that out. But the other thing with the public school advocacy, just to follow up with Denise, is part of one of the things we wanted to come away with tonight is a timeline, a communication timeline, because we do have to more vigorously engage with our state legislature. We have to find out what's happening with the federal money. Give us, you know, right from now, no, we're not going to wait. We need to get updates all along. What's happening? What's happening with the Chapter 70 funding? What are you pushing for? Are you advocating for the public schools out there for us? And put some pressure there, because they're the ones who control a lot of this. So it's sort of saying, as a part of what we do tonight, is have a timeline. When do we want to invite these people? When will that happen? When will we invite Jeff Roy and Karen Spilka and Joe Kennedy to come to our town and to answer questions? And then we give them this information. What are you going to do about it? You know, right? That's a piece of it, right, Kevin?
We have to do things we haven't done before.
Right.
Not something we haven't done before. There's no numbers, but certainly the prognostications are not strong. At any level, the federal budget that has been proposed is 13% less than last year. The state is not realizing this year's revenue. That can't be a good thing for next year's revenue if there's a shortfall. And the town has long established problems in terms of getting enough resources for anybody. One point I'd like to make is when you hear budget talk, and we this is not a death struggle with other departments in the town. We're here speaking about the children of our town and saying things that we want for our kids, not at the expense of anyone. And anyone who goes down that road, I would urge them strongly not to, and no one on this committee does. But outside of this committee, people have an us and them. That's not what it is. But in the departments in the town, you often hear the discussion at budget time is they want to restore cuts that have been made in the past. We need more police officers because in the past we had a higher number and they could cut. Truly they did. Firemen say that, DPW says that. Well, no one has been more cut than the school department. We had 100 cuts in one brief period. We've covered some of those cuts. We have less students, K-1-2-3, now because of demographics. So we don't need more teachers there. But we do have a net deficit over time. 50 teachers, something, and this is a figure we need to have a fit. Not to me, that's a call we have to go to the parents with. And if people say, so what? We can mention our music, our gifted and talent, our library, our technology, all the things we don't have that we did have, And I'm not sure if anyone hears that story and knows that story. So part of our advocacy has to be knowledge-based, but it can't be confrontational, and I can't say that enough. This is not a town that will support that, in my view. No, they don't want to see departments at loggerheads. They want to see rational discussion. And to date, all my time in school, I've never heard anything but rational discussion from the school committee. I just think we have to ratchet it up more, because it hasn't achieved the goal.
Do you think it would be, I'm just wondering if just for the purposes of this, if looking at the data that Miriam and Sarah put together is so powerful that just maybe kind of briefly going over what they've put together, like they have, I'll just, you know, summary of reductions and efficiencies, what's happening with the revolving account, looking at the projected new enrollment in our town, what's going to be happening, looking at how many, what's going for user fees, all this stuff that they put together that's so powerful, so that, you know, creates this great picture for us. And then we can figure from the data, what is it we want to capture and get out to the public when we do go to, like, the community forums and things like that. What from this data that we can condense and put into kind of a summary sheet that will tell the story, as Vanessa said, that we want to tell in an eloquent and efficient way that people can grasp. And then beside that, because of all the data they put together, the new committee members, day one, as soon as they walk in, they have a packet. They have it all beautifully explained right when they hit the ground running to say, this is the data that we have. It's all here. They've already done it. And they put a lot of work into pulling all this together. So I was thinking maybe if as a process is just kind of looking, going over that data, that, and from there, what we want to pull for communication, that was...
I think commendations to Miriam and the superintendent.
Yeah.
This packet of data is very strong.
More
and well worth communicating out of the school district into the town as a whole. So do you want to go through it one page at a time? See if we all understand it or have questions about it. Are there things not here that you'd like to see added here? This is a strategy session, so.
I think the one to start with that is going to make the most sense to a community member is probably where we are per pupil expenditure.
Yeah.
Like, people want to compare us to other towns.
Got it.
All right, let's compare us to other towns. Like, Miriam, where are we in our numbers as far as how much we spend per student? We're down in the bottom of the barrel, correct?
13,000.
Nice. Right, so where are we as far as all of the districts in the state? Where is Franklin?
What was that number, Miriam?
13,310.
So that 13,310, where does that put us? I mean, the comps with other districts are great.
Right, so you have in your packet there are roughly 40 districts.
We're going to try and put it up here.
But of those districts that are in the VICO and the Accept Collaborative, we are roughly fifth lowest from those 40 districts.
Right, and that's just VICO.
From the bottom.
Fifth from the bottom.
Yeah.
If you take a bigger picture, we're 25th from the bottom in the whole state.
In the whole state. Like, those are things that this town needs to recognize. You want all these things. You want to be a top-performing school district. That's the reality. That's what we're spending.
That is exactly the reality. And it's getting that message out there, because it's been our reality. We've been below the state average
for sure.
For 20 years.
For pupil expenditure compared to similar towns, and what people want to look like.
Yeah.
And help people understand what per pupil
and
means.
Where that is. Yeah. Where does that put us in the state? Like, not just state average, but literally of all of the schools in this, all of the districts in this state, where does that put us?
Mm-hmm. I'd share this thought. Again, not to be adversarial, when the state did ed reform back in 93, some of us were actually still in the game then, it was a culture shock, and no one knew quite how to handle it. And what people did was, each town by town, set the threshold And the threshold set in Franklin was much too low relative to what the schools needed then or going forward. So it's not like present people in the town are mean people for not giving us the money. The threshold needs to be adjusted upward so that we meet our goals. And I think, again, on that non-confrontational bent, there's no doubt we need money. There's no question we're below what we need. But this group of people didn't set the threshold. It was set in a time before any of our intervention. The trouble is everything costs more money, and the costs that we are seeing are unbelievable. Our 3% across the board pay raise for teachers goes in this year. Our insurance costs go up. Our health costs go up. Everything escalates. And if you take it off of a city thing, what you were doing is our classrooms suffer every time you put a special expense on the end of it. I'm not sure everyone hears that.
Right. From my reporting with the town council, you should at least be prepared that the last agreement, because you deviated from what the rest of the town did, where all the agreements were in the 2, 2.5, you went 2, 2.5, and 3, and that was the only agreement that went to 3 or against the rest of the town. They didn't like that. So just be prepared to answer that. I'm sure you can, because you got some numbers to do so, but.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. And
well, I mean, the town councilors running are also out there bashing the school committee on Facebook on a regular basis right now. So, I mean,
yeah.
At least two of them.
We're an easy target.
Do we want to, one of the questions I would raise is, do we want to have any information about teacher salaries, our average teacher salaries?
No, because I think that's too divisive. And I feel like this has been in every presentation. Miriam has done an excellent job of putting that out there. And we've talked about that from the 2 years we've been on school committee and previous to that. That whole being below the state average has been out there. I think what people need to hear is, where are we out of all of the towns in this state? We are really
right,
down.
But in addition to that, Vanessa, the only reason I'm just responding, I was just thinking of what Steve said. There's a reason why, to make us a little bit competitive, because we're losing the percentage of teachers that we lose and the cost to our system,
sure,
because they go to Westwood.
I think
they
we
go
know
to
that, but I think the argument is that, like, for a town member, I think too many people in the community, I think,
don't care.
Teacher salaries is a very divisive topic.
Right. Can I just clarify what Kevin said? Kevin, you said we're 25th from the bottom in all, so there's 351 towns. How many school districts are there?
There's more than that because of Tri-County, so it must be 400-ish, but I know.
So are you saying we rank 300? If, let's say,
yes,
there's 400,
yes, yeah,
we rank 375.
Some number like that, yeah.
That to me is
that's
much more
compelling
shocking
than that.
That was my point, is I think that strikes home.
Like if we can quantify and get an official statistic on the number of school districts there are, and if we are truly that far to the bottom,
we did a mini comparison, which is included in there. It does not include all of the districts, but we looked at our collaborative districts,
right.
Neighboring districts for the Accept Collaborative and the BICO Collaborative. And among the BICO Collaborative group, we are third from the bottom in terms of expenditures, as well as third from the bottom among the Accept Collaborative. If we combine all of those towns, we are fifth from the bottom, which is the third page.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful data.
We're
yeah.
here in blue.
I think that has been out there. I think we should say it again. We can't say
yeah,
that enough.
We need to say it.
But how do we say it in
more,
such a way?
Like, germane way. Because I think even by saying BICO Collaborative, Accept Collaborative, I think general
right.
public,
yeah, right.
that's not going to resonate to them.
I think it's within our region. You could say within our region.
Exactly.
I think when you look at state numbers, you're comparing the Cape and Islands, you're comparing Berkshire districts, and
right. So
Cambridge.
We can say regionally
Cambridge.
We are this
Boston.
Yeah,
then
Cambridge.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
I think when you sort of get the lingo in there too
yeah.
much, it
yeah. I mean the
off.
Southeast, the 495.
I would suggest we couple the statistic with the effect of the statistic.
What
and
the
because of that,
yeah.
we don't have this, that, and we don't have enough.
Right, right. It almost seems like, because we want it to be kind of a one-page document, because if there's too much stuff, we want it to be kind
exactly.
of really bold.
It has to be succinct in
so
our best, give it our best shot.
Yeah. Music at the, you know, the middle level, we've lost foreign language. When you think about over the years, and the high school schedule had to change, and we lost all that, the staff at the high school, where we had to, that big time there when we had to, you know.
We lost 16 teachers out of the high school itself.
Yeah.
Okay, when we're presenting this data, are we saying all time we've lost X number of teachers and programs, or are we picking a year as a starting
like over
point?
The last, like, say, 10 years
and,
or
yeah,
something?
Years.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
We should not go all time. We should go
yeah.
in the last. When were the big cuts, roughly?
I would say 08, 09 was the year
yeah.
that was when the, everything,
yeah.
they,
all those
funding.
Teachers had to be cut.
So, Go back to there. That's all we need to do in terms of that's when we lost.
It's almost 10 years. It's like a 10-year frame. Yeah, the last decade. This is the loss. These are
yeah.
the losses.
Can I ask a question about that? How that number is calculated? Is that averaged over a student's?
Which one?
The 13,
yeah.
310. That's averaged over.
So elementary school
right.
is significantly less, high school is significantly
less. Okay.
Just it's all of the expenditures
yeah.
between the town and the school.
Okay.
That
fully
the town puts
over.
In on behalf of the schools. And grant money and revolving it does not include transportation.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
And capital.
But it is averaged over
and,
all of the
and
students. Okay. Because I thought that there was a cost difference that some of the grades actually kind of cost
mm-hmm.
more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct.
Yes.
And then that gets too in the weeds if you try to say, like, this is our first grade. So if we, just to summarize what we have so far, because I'm a good like to summarize. We have FIP, the regional, where we are in the region, but then also the state where we are there. Then
I think we should figure that out,
yeah.
whatever the number is.
Get that information, and then very, very specifically over the last decade, very succinctly summarize these are our losses, you know, and these are the things we've lost.
And we have to be careful to say we've made some of the losses back, but we certainly aren't back into the 100.
Well,
the 100 range.
So
yeah.
if we lost
something
Steve. And it came back, it's still listed as a loss? Let's say we lost, this is what, two, I can't read that part, 2008. Let's say we lost something in 2008.
Do you want my glasses?
Back, they're apparently mine aren't working.
CBS, really
and
bad.
And we've added it back. Is it still listed as a reduction?
Yeah, right now it is.
But so we don't want to put that. No,
no,
we just want to put the
not
stuff that hasn't
this,
come
this
back.
This is for us.
Right, right. We know Latin and you know French have not come back. The librarians have not come back. All those things we lost, that high school schedule is still the way it was when Peter had to cut all those teachers. Right? Isn't
yeah.
we, don't we want to say, because it would be too cute, we got this, it came back, but just, we're still without these things. I don't know, that to me would be.
This is for our school committee background. We want to put together a sheet,
yeah.
which will summarize impactfully why a budget is a crisis. It's a question. Do we want to use the word crisis?
If you get to that point, clarification on the 8 custodians. I thought that was a transfer to the town budget.
In 2009.
In 2009.
2009 is when the town took over facilities.
With the MOA.
Correct.
But you would cut 8 before the transfer.
That was before my time, but that's what that says.
Okay. So I want to clarify.
I got here right at the tail end of April of 08.
Institutional.
So,
yes.
So in FY09, that's when the MOU came in.
That's
department.
Another whole thing. What school do you know of doesn't control its own custodians?
Because they control their facilities piece. And that was a town-wide decision, which alleviated some of the pressures you've got on that side. So I understand that piece. You can go it either way. They did
you
it that
can
way.
Go either way. And it's not a fighting point because it's too high, it's too murky.
I think some of these are also listed as efficiencies. So, and there are some things that, some choices that were made that could have been done more efficiently weren't necessarily reductions, but just
right.
a different way of operating. And so it isn't just a reduction list, but a cut list.
Can I ask a question? Would we want to, on this one page thing, I think one of the other big issues that you hear out in the community, just people particularly who have to pay for busing their kids to school and the fees, and what that's done, you know, that somewhere we put something, maybe just a bullet or something about over the years, the fees that we've had to, you know, I don't know, do people think that that's important to include as a
Well, I think you touched on a really important point, because I've always thought that there's an inequality around those fees, and then you end up with all of these traffic jams at each of the schools, because there's certain parents that are able, or, you know, have to drive their children to schools because they don't want to pay for the fee or find a fee. I know your name's good about having access to reductions and things, but I do think that there isn't a note that we should make about that.
MJ, you were going to say, MJ was going to say.
As far as the fees go, for each program that is in place, yes, there's a fee. What does that fee cover? And do the fees that are collected cover the cost of the program?
I don't know. Really.
And if not,
the fees don't cover the entire cost of the program in any aspect. The fees supplement the cost, supplement the budgetary cost.
Okay. Is there any way of like putting together what it costs for the football program, the track, for any of the clubs, and just to show what the fees collected support?
Yeah, I think what MJ is saying is, like, we talked about this at the budget season in the spring, the fact that transportation, those fees bring in X amount, and our transportation costs have dramatically increased over time. So yes, people are upset by that $325, but the reality is the cost of transportation have escalated significantly faster than the last time we did that. And so what our district spends on transportation versus how much we're bringing in, that's what you're talking about, MJ, right?
That's exactly.
Like, I think big categories, like athletics, this is how much our fees bring in, this is how much we spend on athletic. But that's hard, isn't it, because athletic is rolled into the high school budgeting? Or can you pull
out athletic. It's probably a 60-40 split off the top of my head. The collection piece is about 40% of the whole budget.
Including like insurance costs and everything?
So that's a town offset.
Got it.
So I don't pay for the insurance?
Insurance, it's fine.
In your insurance, you'll see some comparative fee things with the rest of the state, right?
Oh yeah, that's in the package.
Just,
yeah.
I think if you're old and gnarled and been in the wars for a long time, there's something very upsetting about the idea that we charge people money to go to school. In a land that dumps food, we charge people. You know, I know there's a other side to that, but it upsets me that children are in the middle of this.
So do we want to include that in our kind of our summary that we get out to the public then, the data around fees then, referencing them?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to
agree.
Okay, good.
Because
okay.
I don't think parents have a clue how much per bus that this $375 doesn't even, it's a
I
drop
think
in
it's
the
an
bucket.
Important part of the dialogue, because what we want to do is have the community buy in that in some way we need to make a greater investment in our education system here in Franklin. And so they already think they're getting taxed to whatever degree. There's a huge amount of support, you know, on the town side, the school side, but it's a part of the equation. Like, they're paying $325 bus fee that's not covering the cost of
I think
transporting
that's child. A message. Mm-hmm. We're doing our part. Mm-hmm. We're doing our part in terms of fee-based education for a lot of things. And the message is we need your help.
Help us help you, kind of thing.
Just a thought on that. Maybe a way of looking at it too is, you gotta think of the audience. What might be not just as an overall, like it costs us X hundred thousands of dollars to bus kids, we collect X hundred thousands of dollars in fees, like that doesn't mean anything to people. it costs us $525 to transport a student for a year.
Exactly.
We call it $325 fee. Talk about
that would be
the student.
Yes, right.
The cost
make
per
a
bus.
Nice chart. That
sure.
would be
right.
good.
And then you can talk about, so for the X thousand kids we transport, this is the cost difference.
I mean, I think the only, like, you know, issue that comes up there is the people that are in the, like, you know, right on the line. Like, I'm a right on the line person. So it's like, you know, I was 5,000, yeah, it would be free, like, right, so.
That's always, that's a tough
that.
One.
It's a tricky conversation to have, but I think there is a way to work those numbers to get the message out about that share cost.
I'd throw out a caution that we don't want to make fees an issue in our budgeting in terms of raising fees to help out.
We
need
to,
the message needs to be is, we're doing our part. Our parents are paying above and beyond for public education in a number of ways. I don't think the idea that buses cost $500 and we pay $325 now, mm-hmm. oh, the solution is $200 more on the parents. That's yeah. retrograde in the extreme. And we want kids to come here. We don't want to drive them away. Anyway, that's just.
Well, think about it in terms of if we had, I don't know what the total transportation cost is off the top of my head, but let's say that's $1 million and we're gifted $1 million and now there's no traffic jams at the schools because every child can get on the bus and get there and you don't have to get in that little loop anymore. I mean, that's a huge, I think, value add for the entire community, not just for any of the children that are getting dropped off
that's
and sitting
point.
In that traffic loop.
That's right.
I might have something against the traffic loops.
This seems to be an issue.
Kevin, I just went to the state, and in 2015, you were right, we were 27th from the bottom of the state out of 404. So
404 is the number?
That's
yeah.
pretty powerful data.
That I mean, that puts us at, like, the bottom 7% of the entire state as far as what we spend on our students. Like, how can you continue to offer what other towns in Massachusetts do when
what
we're
is
that,
that
low.
No, we're
oh, race to the bottom.
And most of those other ones, like, yeah, I mean, it's disturbing to see where
what
we are.
What year, Vanessa, we were trying to figure?
Yeah.
Huh?
Year
what year
was that?
We were just
that
18.
Was 2015.
Oh, good.
2015.
We were 27th from the bottom.
Again,
and the towns were near, let's just put it in perspective, Northbridge.
Where's that?
Taunton. I mean, it's disgusting.
What else? Give me a couple more.
You can put that in the notes if you want.
Okay. What towns are we comparing ourselves to?
I think it's powerful to compare us to our neighboring towns, like third from the bottom in this area or fifth from in this region.
Yes.
But I think saying 27th from the bottom out of over 400 districts, that's shockingly bad for a town that wants to laud and say we have all of these great offerings. You can't continue to do that with that kind of money being put in.
It is. I agree with you. But what towns are we regularly compared to?
Well, look at the ones we're right here. We're below.
It's in the data.
Plainville,
Mansfield, yeah.
Bellingham, King Philip, Walpole, Norton, Milford. We're lower than all of them.
I think it might depend
yes.
upon what question you're asking. If you're asking a question regarding
no,
size and
so
structure
yeah.
and like communities, we might look to a Shrewsbury, we might look to a North Andover, we
Chelmsford.
Might look to Chelmsford
mm-hmm.
as a comparison. But from a job market standpoint, I think we would look more regionally because
yeah.
people
mm-hmm.
would tend to look within the same region for jobs. So I think it sort of depends on what question we're looking at. But a common comparison would be regional.
The other way to look at it is when we've done NCAS analysis, the schools that Sarah mentioned are what's considered by the state are comparables, but we've also looked at it within like the Hockomock League. And that's another, because people can wrap their heads around
yeah,
it. They understand what that means.
Okay.
So it really, again, are you looking at MCAS scores? Are you looking at the size of the district? Because when you look at those five,
you're looking for the biggest impact.
Well, when you look
and
at
the biggest
five,
impact is 404.
Yeah. Right, when you look at the 5,000 intercept districts, many of them are far smaller than us with far greater pupil expenditures. So again, size is a piece of this, and we have far many more buildings than
yeah.
many.
And you could dice it up too small. We're better than Ware. Yay!
Yeah.
Where the hell is Ware? You know, you don't want to get into that kind of stuff, but you know, it's a tale to be told. We are comparatively not supporting our schools in the way they should. Here's a statistic that resonates with me strongly, and Miriam and Sarah did an excellent job building in the town.
Peter also worked on that part too. I want to make
no,
sure.
No, he doesn't get any credit today. No. You get credit for the next job. No.
Peter, I didn't have anything to do with it.
Credit doesn't ever go where it belongs. That's the American way. You know, we suffer when growth is as large as it is. We're in the 850-ish units either already in the ground or coming on, and those students will come into our system as a real cost item. We have to get that word out. We have I think the figure is something. I don't know what the
900
determined. It's almost about 900
projected at
just my end of the on Pond Street. There's 93 with 2 and 3 bedrooms in there. Up on 40, there's 188 with 2 and 3 bedrooms in there, and you know, that's kids. That's kids coming into our system, and our first kids, I guess, are scheduled to come from the 140 thing pretty soon, right?
December, right?
I mean, that's a real issue to put out there in terms
so
of.
So would people want then that we also just put the approved and projected new housing, just a brief bullet on that as well, so we can put that on our kind of one.
Would have a significant impact on
our
enrollment.
So we'll say new building statistics, approved and projected, that Peter put together.
I think that's kind of a mixed story. You've got an opportunity with lower enrollment K-8, and you know, class sizes that it can absorb some new students. Those students coming in would also bring in some additional Chapter 70 money mm-hmm. from the state, but there wouldn't be an incremental cost in terms of teachers if you had room within. And we do have room within.
If you're lucky, if that's where the kids came. If they came in the high school.
The high school.
Yeah. We're already in trouble.
Like you're
in
a challenge.
Beth, you're going to say something. When you're doing housing, though, one of the things you want to point out is, and I know town council will bring this up, and I'm not taking notes, so hold on. They're going to say that you're going to be getting real estate taxes from this, but a lot of these things are going to be rental properties. So the real estate taxes will be a fixed tax that will be paid for by who the builder is. So be very careful with that type of statistics.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because someone will say, oh my God, you're going to have 900 more kids, but they're going to be paying taxes. The taxes will just be fixed by the person who's renting those buildings and providing those buildings and the builder.
And the taxes don't go to the schools, so therefore they are not assured income.
You kind of want to nip that in the bud before it becomes a conversation.
Put that in the minutes. A brilliant idea.
The other piece that may come up, depending upon where it comes, is a redistricting.
Yeah.
Oh, don't say that word. Bad word. Don't even put it in the minutes.
Yeah, but we can't continue to have kindergartens of 24 kids and other ones of 16.
Agreed.
Like, it's just
it may become inevitable depending on where the kids fall.
I'm putting a paraprofessional in there, it's not the same, it's similar size ratio. It's
I mean, what if a large percentage are high school kids? Then what the hell do? We have a universally liked, almost beloved building. It's very popular in the town, but now we're blemishing it by its overloving it too much. It was built for 650, a 1650, and now it's at 1800, plus or minus.
And the lunchroom.
It's, I mean,
you're gonna have to eat lunch at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
As I'm listening to all of this, our hope, in my view, is to impact them, not to get everything all at once, but to get into the consciousness of the town that we need some resource help. And these are the reasons why.
As far as this information that we get out, do we want to kind of encapsulate the mission vision or some priorities and say, you know, these are our overarching goals for the year, or do we just leave that out at this point and just put a summary of, you know, some budget needs? What do people think of?
I think it depends on how much room we have on the document. Mm-hmm. If we have it, it's okay, but.
I mean, do we want to have just put our vision statement that we have, or our mission vision, you know,
the one
our current
on agendas?
Yeah.
I think that's probably enough.
I think like the top of our agenda in terms of.
Yeah, right there. The Franklin Public Schools will foster within students the knowledge and skills to find and achieve satisfaction in life as productive, bold, global citizens.
Right, to put
we
that,
put that
maybe
at
like
the top.
The Franklin School logo on the top of the document.
So. What about a picture of Horace Mann? I was thinking we could put a little picture of Horace Mann up there. Public education gets that.
Horace Mann, you can't have a picture because he's rolling over in his grave many times. You can't even see his face anymore. And I know because I gave a speech to his rear end.
That's right, you did.
Yes.
This is a great big statue and I'm talking to his rear end. Hi. Anyway.
So if we were getting this bulleted thing, then we do a nice powerful thing. We can just kind of maybe get it printed. Whatever we come up with, we can finalize with everybody's approval, Sarah, everybody looking at it, seeing if we've got it all, get it kind of printed up and have some, if we want to do, you know, we can also put it online, but have it out there for the public when we go to do like the community.
100% agree.
Right?
100%
agree. But the question becomes, what are the other vehicles, for communication? How do we want to take this information? What are the vehicles that we want to use to get it out? We know through our coffee hours is one. I know when we
meet with. We can put it in our newsletter.
Right.
We can plan, you know, we haven't planned any of our community coffees for after the election day.
Yeah.
But a number of us in the room will still be here after the election day. So those will continue. I think planning.
So our newsletter.
You know, around, you know, that document for feedback. For discussion.
And the seniors asked if we could put it in the newspaper, so they said please use the newspaper for us.
And I'll put it in their little bibs.
Yeah.
How about the PCCs are getting it out to you?
PCCs are critical. It's a critical entree point.
We can do it at the joint PCCs and get it out for them to put on their website as well.
I think the more you personalize this, a person handing them this, the more you could respond to their questions. Mm-hmm. Be available to questions.
Oh, as the parent who's got no other role in the room, so I'm imagining what it's going to be like for me reading this document.
Yes.
And at this point where you've described it, I'm going to be frustrated, disgusted, pissed off, annoyed. What can I do about it? What are the things that's what I would want on the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. What do we do as parents, mm-hmm. to support the schools?
Bottom line, talk to the town council. Simple as that.
What?
Talk to the town council.
Just,
that's
do
where
we
the
put
decision
just something is just, you know, get involved, you know, what, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of.
Go to the PCC, go, you know, get involved.
Just, but nothing that's so scripted that says you must go do this and go talk to it, but just something that says a town that is invested in its kids. You know, we want you to, I don't know, just something that has like a bullet that you know, that it exactly addresses that, I think.
But Anne, I think, you know, we've been talking about for months and seem to get hung up on logistics or, you know, violating the open meeting laws or whatever, of having some kind of community-wide forum that members of the town council, members of the finance committee, members of the school committee, I don't know what legal, you know, numbers
state
those
reps.
Can be, or state reps,
but
to
that's,
have that dialogue.
So that's one of the things we put as a way to communicate, a community forum with our state. So
right, that maybe we can, if we can figure out the logistics, I mean, obviously we can't have a date to put on this thing if we're going to hand it out at the Harvest Fair on Saturday, but if we think that we could put that sort of forum together within the confines of open meeting law, then we can say as next steps, look out for a date in, you know, early spring or December, whenever we think we might feasibly able to do that for a community discussion on this topic.
I don't understand why we couldn't have that forum.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just call the forum and
we invite,
post it as
a
meeting.
We invite and say.
No,
yeah.
There's no reason we shouldn't. And I think it's a good step to have the FinCom.
Somebody was concerned that if there was more than, you know.
Well, post it as a meeting, that's all right.
But if no votes are going to be taken.
Yeah, it's just a community discussion. People need to be able to ask questions, you know, get more information. We're never going to pass anything or get more dollars for our town if we don't engage them in discussion. Nobody's going to read a document that gets to them, however, and say, oh, sure, yeah, raise my taxes, or I'll go vote for that override. I mean, that's not how it's done, so.
I think there's one other piece of data that we haven't taken a look at, and it gets a little bit at what I have been talking about with respect to protecting what we have.
Right.
It's coming in. I'm continuing to be really impressed with Franklin and what our students are doing. So I think there's a lot to celebrate. So
yeah,
when I hear you that you're frustrated, I get a little nervous myself because I think there's a lot to celebrate as well, and I don't want to lose sight of that.
Yeah.
And that gets at sort of this protection of what we have and the investment that we have. And what I'm speaking about is the message from the past couple of budget seasons, which is around kind of covering the budget with the revolving account information.
Yeah, people don't get that.
And I think it's a
like
huge vulnerability,
yeah.
Which
there's no question.
I want to maybe if it's okay to open up that conversation, because I think
how do we explain that better, Sarah, to the community? Because that message has been out there. We keep talking about it, and it's not hitting home. And I agree that we need to celebrate all of the good things and protect what we have, but I also feel that the messages have always been cushioned by the, and we do great.
Right.
That's
so it's
the
not,
problem.
It's like,
yeah, we do great,
bad,
but we don't have enough counselors.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do great, but we don't have tech integration specialists. Yeah, we do great, we don't have a technology director working on curriculum. Yeah, we do great, but we don't have librarians. Like, yeah, we're doing great, but we don't have instrumental music for our elementary schoolers. You know, like, I mean.
Could we tie in? You just gave me a great answer. Like, if we could start out by acknowledging that at the outset, like, we understand that with our resources, Franklin continues to do fantastic. However, our vision is to get us here. To get there, we need to get the counselors, the technology plan, the,
right.
You know, the elementary language, whatever we prioritize.
Do we use the good to great phrasing? You know, we're good, but we want to be competitive with the best.
Yeah,
and
that's
the things that
are
lost.
Here, right?
Yeah. Right?
I think that's part of what the message needs to be. I mean, so I'm just saying maybe if we acknowledge at the outset, like we understand that we've been able to do, you know, a great job with the resources we've had, but they're constrained. We've lost things that we want to get back, or we want to get towards this goal of offering XYZ.
How do we frame that in like a bulleted, powerful impact? MJ clearly doesn't like the good to great phrasing. So, I mean, is there a way that we can do it that sort of addresses
well,
that?
Well, the things that I think sharing the wish lists of the administrators, I think the principals all came to us with all these things that they felt that they needed. I mean,
they wanted one thing, they wanted counselors.
Well, I mean,
no counselors.
But that whole presentation they did, there were a lot more things than that. Like, they were talking about additional staffing in a lot of different ways.
I've heard a lot about tech integration.
Yeah.
Particularly from our middle school principals. I haven't been through the entire budget development process where they're putting forward their requests, but that goes back to when I interviewed. I remember it coming up.
I mean, most people hear that there's a kindergarten class with 22 or 24 kids in and no assistant anymore. I mean, that's sitting there all day with that many five-year-olds. Steve, that's what your wife is?
Bailey.
There's only one kindergarten.
This year she's lucky. In fact, she's got 19 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was worse.
Among the
I know, but I'm just saying, like, last year there were.
Let us, Miriam, try to talk us through and see if we can make a selling point. Overall, we have relied on revolving funds for years. This year, we changed that policy where we started spending revolving funds in the year they came in, and now we're in a dangerous position of not having sufficient funds next year. But explain that better than I did. As brilliant as I put down, I just did a brilliant presentation. There, would you please?
It did.
All right. Thank
I
you.
Think at this point, you know, our current available revolving funds are $5 million. We're projecting to spend $6 million this year, and take in an additional just under $4.5 million.
So it's five. We're spending six. We're getting four. So we now have three.
We're going to have, right, 2.7.
So right now we're spending off of the five, but next year we'll only have three because we've spent it up, right?
But people aren't going to understand the term revolving funds out there. If we want to try to make, how do we take that, Miriam, and put it into
I think you're tying into your fee structure because that's where your fees are coming from. You're taking in $500,000 in fees.
So we tie it into the
transportation, for example. So the fees that have been collected,
accumulating, we've been using, but that's going away. Something we could put in a way that,
right. But I want to be careful because I don't, you know, to your point earlier, I don't want to tie it too closely to have people thinking that we're raising fees. Because
that's not what
I heard from this
committee. No, right. No, absolutely.
But that's where your revolving fees are generated from, and over time. We've been conservative in our spending of revolving funds, and we've had the ability to not spend revolving funds. Now we don't have that luxury anymore. You know, the budget obviously is a moving piece, and it changes regularly. And so while I expect to spend $6 million, there is a potential to not spend $6 million. And if I don't have to spend that, certainly it will stay in the revolving accounts and carry over to next year.
But if there are no changes, right now we have a $2 million deficit.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's before any state money or anything is mentioned.
I wonder if the analogy of people's checkbook is, you know, money comes in, money has to go out, and the idea is that you're not supposed to run in the negative. You need to have at least a small surplus to be able to keep your family sustainable. And maybe that's the analogy that kind of will help the revolving, get over the revolving fund.
That's not bad at all. And we're not doing this frivolously, we're just trying to maintain. It's a maintenance budget we've been struggling.
Right. I mean, what if there's, you know, children with, you know, that need out of district placements that move into the apartment complexes in the middle of the year that we hadn't budgeted for? Yeah. I mean,
Can I ask one other question? Would it be powerful data to put the over the last, again, if we use the 10 years, unfunded mandates that we put on the schools, that we just sort of say these are the things that the state has put on us, because some of the senior citizens aren't aware of all of the different things that have changed since they went to school, but all these unfunded mandates that have been put on us, it might be good to
quantify that. Like, how would you, in a bullet, like just say unfunded mandates, and like what does your definition of that mean? How many of them are there?
I would propose don't hold it to format it, put the idea out. You can still do a tweet version and link to a doc which has the fuller piece.
Yeah.
But you need the details to create the bullet.
That's a good point.
I'm trying to wrap my own head around.
We could link this one page to other things.
Correct.
Can we put together a big picture mandates of the last 10 years?
There's a lot.
It's awful that we just start question.
I mean, like, the one thing that really comes to mind quickly is the only place where we exceed the state spending is PD, and that has largely over the last 10 years gone to the PD we've done around the new educator eval system, which is an unfunded mandate.
And working with trying to put together, I mean, like, you've done a phenomenal job of bringing together educators, administrators, teachers, to do the work of curriculum work here in Franklin in-house and bringing in good high quality PD. But the reality is, like, there's the new tech standards, like all of those are brand new. The expectation is we implement them. We don't have technology integration specialists to do that work, so it has to fall on the backs of teachers. Like, that's like the frameworks, all of the frameworks that have been put in, the bullying mandates, the heroin, like, okay, you have to screen your students for mental health and drug addiction. You're supposed to do this. Oh, but you don't get any more money from us to take care of it.
What about EL, English language learners?
Yep.
Is that all funded?
So,
all those mandates, training, and all that?
No, it's not funded. So, like, you think of, like, now that in the last, is it the last year that now certain, if you're a level one or level two, you need to have 90 minutes a day of services and 45 minutes. So, the number of service minutes has gone up. No more additional funding for those.
An extra year of monitoring for kids who flip, which is also
an additional testing requirements around that. And they require that you do technology testing. So you have to implement the technology both on MCAS and WIDA in order to implement them, but they're not giving us money towards that technology. We've had to purchase that technology in-house.
I don't know about constructing a number to meet all that.
Yeah,
but just
as,
but
just
even as a
example, like, you would give those kinds of things as examples of unfunded mandates that the state requires us to do, but doesn't give us any resources.
In addition to grant cuts.
Yeah.
I also think there probably is unfunded mandates too. I think of, like, changes to Section 504 laws since 2000.
Which require a lot more administrative overhead. The bullying laws have increased the amount of work.
Right, suicide screenings.
Right, all of those kind of things that mental health and like that fall on administrators and counselors to do.
Yeah.
With
that
increase.
Also think now through the initial phase of teachers going through, like, the ELD course.
The SEI.
Yeah, the SEI endorsement. Now I would guess, and I don't have the data, but they will probably see more course reimbursement.
Yes, it is an increased cost of course reimbursement.
I mean,
to the tune of about $600 a teacher.
Even mentoring, they've increased the requirements and mandates around how much districts mentor new teachers.
So whole another year.
Whole another year that they're expecting
and
mentoring to
no
that
fund,
right. And but districts have to
this
find a way to continue to mentor them.
But this is, again, we're trying for a one-page thing.
Yeah, front and back.
So,
I know, but I'm just saying, like, if you put a list on unfunded mandates.
Pretty soon we'll be doing small print.
What about my 17?
The reductions alone could be, like, reductions and mandate.
In 2009, prior school committee summarized, at that time, the unfunded mandates. So at least from 2009 to the present, you can do updates.
Can we get it? Let's get a hand on that.
I'll get you the link.
Please, yeah.
It's in the archives.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think Steve's,
I remember looking at that.
Steve's idea is perfect. Make a statement, list some of the, but refer it back to another page where you can get more information. Or refer it to the state. I mean.
Oh, it may be a sore point, but at one point in time, you did have a blog as a school committee, so you could post these things and then refer to them. That technology is available and it could still be used. So.
If we had our own technologist, maybe we would call them in and tell them to do it.
Picking up on the good to great thing, one of the other pieces,
2028.
It's gonna be a major year for Franklin. What are we gonna look like in 2028? The 250th anniversary. Mm-hmm. Valid question.
Yeah.
It's only 11 years away.
Yeah.
It's only 10 years away.
Yeah.
What are we going to do to get there for 2028?
Well, those kids will be in high school, ones that were just enrolled in
I was going to say, is that our second grade class?
Yeah, I think we enrolled our K's 2031 is
that
right?
Expand on that thought. What's America going
to
look like in 2020?
Well,
what's the world these kids are going to?
The real challenge is the jobs that they're going to have in 2028. We don't even know today.
Exactly, and doubtless our technology will have less of them than we have now.
Right.
What the hell are people going to do in 20? I'm not going to be here. They'll be making my statue right beside the... They're going to use a little more material for myself.
So I have vehicles for communication, our newsletter, we use the newspapers, we do use, go through the PCCs, get it out that way, and we host a community forum, and we could structure that through our public schools advocacy committee, and,
Put down on the forum with the town council.
Yeah,
the,
exactly. Jeff Roy, Karen spoke, bring different people and have people have a chance to come and ask questions. But then in the meantime, we will have given out so much information that the public will be so ready to ask the right questions because we will have given so much data.
Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely, you're absolutely right. We've got to make sure
after the snow.
That's one of the things too is like the timeline because we want to be able to give everyone. If we're inviting people to come enough notice when we want to have it. Like, would you, you know, kind of give them and get the information out to them too? So we've got our bullets.
What are we going to do with the? When will the bullets?
Well, I was trying to.
Can we just go back to your, you just said something about a timeline. So
oh, yeah.
This, the preliminary budget timeline.
Yes.
I haven't looked at this closely, but where would make sense in that sort of very structured schedule of events around the budget, where would it make sense to have the forum?
Very good.
Certainly before they set the budget, so certainly by January.
Because they get the data. Not probably till March from the state, right?
So no, they get the data in January, sometimes late in the day.
The governor, by January 25th, releases their budget, then the House, then the Senate,
okay. And
then there's a reconciliation, and they have to have it all resolved by June 30th.
You want to get to the state reps before they put out their
so
budget.
So what would we say, like February?
Right, so we want...
The House one comes out at the end of January, so I would guess.
So would we have we would have some idea what's in that,
you'd
right?
You'd have an idea. That would be the governor's.
And I know the numbers bounce
around. Governor's budget, January 25th, right. So the week after that, you'll at least have some initial numbers.
Focus on prior, after Martin Luther King Day, obviously, because of January 25th,
yeah.
But before February break.
Okay, in that
that's
range.
Reasonable.
And then with it, certainly with a snow date.
That's what
right.
I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where snow systems in a million years on the media today.
That would be January 23rd.
The union opposed.
40 snow days this year.
I believe they have a
day
of
the disaster.
What are
they
saying?
Sorry.
Are
you thinking January 23rd?
Either the 23rd or February 13th.
Slow change.
So
February. The figures probably wouldn't be out by
January 23rd. No, they certainly won't be out by then. So February 13th.
February 13th or February 27th.
Those are school committee meeting dates.
Those are right.
Well, it doesn't have to be a school committee
yeah.
day.
So could be
the principals. You got to check with all kinds of people before you almost pick a date.
I know. We got to kind of see. You can't have it on a town council night.
Check the community calendar.
We'll check the community calendar.
But your legislature.
I guess I was thinking about
you really should see if you can get the PCC because that's the way you get the information out.
Are we having it like at the high school?
Why don't you say before February vacation? Then work
so
on
if we
date.
Give if we can give the like that. Give the legislators a few dates like Jeff Roy, some of the key people
yeah.
kind of work around and then see what
yeah.
we can give.
I think you've got to see if you can get the PCCs. I mean, even to make it the PCC meeting for the month.
Absolutely.
I would think
because
if we do it on
our
first Tuesday meeting in February,
that's what Marion was saying.
Tuesday night, that would make sense because we're hosting it as the school committee.
And
so
we know we'll all be there.
Exactly. So we'll hope to get as you
and
know,
and if we can send it out now to
right.
like Karen Spilka and Joe Kennedy
yeah.
and Jeff and
right.
Jeff Roy and say, they're probably going to be on vacation.
Don't
just kidding.
Richard Ross.
Richard
yeah,
Ross.
Or maybe we
yeah, you
can
have Ross. He represents
yeah.
part of the town.
Yeah.
What?
Ross represents part of the town.
And you know what?
Yeah.
It's an issue facing Franklin. It's an issue facing all of the towns. And so this is a media kind of we represent a common plight among districts
And I think that's a message that needs to be out there, that this is not in a, like, yes, we may be 27th from the bottom, but the reality is lots of towns are in this position. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that we need more money to get done what we're doing. Whether it's fire or police, everybody wants these things, but nobody wants to talk about the cost to us as a society that it takes to do the work. And so it's definitely, I know, and I just think it's like worth putting out to the media in general that, you know, we as a district want to take on this conversation,
yeah,
this bigger picture that we can't maintain, we can't say we're gonna continue to be the best in the nation, we can't say we're gonna be one of the best school districts in the state if we don't put in and invest in it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if we think about this forum as inviting certain people too, it's like even, you know, like with the SAFE Coalition, with the whole opioid thing, is to say, we need more counselors in the school. This is a national epidemic, and mental health issues are huge. So if we have someone who's willing to speak to that at this forum and to say, well, what are we doing about that as a town? Where's the money coming? We, you know, those kind of things. But it means we could really structure a really powerful forum there, you know? So that's good.
When do we have the sheet where we're looking at bullet points?
Well, I was thinking, I was gonna try to have it ready for the Harvest Fest on Saturday, but I think that would be rushing it, do you? Mm-hmm. We wanna make sure it's really good and that it's...
And I think there's some additional data that,
yeah,
based on this discussion that,
yeah,
you are asking us to pull together,
yeah,
like the unfunded mandates and...
Yeah, so it would be a little bit, and then we wanna really kind of, I know we have a little bit of budget for like printing and stuff, so the ones we print that we would hand out to really make it, you know, with color and glossy, and just so that we can hand it out, you know, at the community. And when you, Sarah has a lot of copies that are being scheduled that,
yeah,
with all these forums that could be available there if she wants to. Or if not.
All right. So ASAP, without a,
yeah,
doubt. Without,
yeah,
a doubt. All right. That makes sense.
So that's good. So
anything else we want to talk about vis-a-vis the budget?
So what I would do is just, as a result of this meeting, just do a draft summary, you,
yep,
know, for the committee, just to, and anyone add to it if I left anything off or whatever, but, and then, you know, go from there, just, because that helps me if I put it in, yeah.
Would it be helpful if I did some outreach to the electeds on the February meeting dates,
yes,
to see if they're available?
That would be really good.
So we want Ross, Spilka, Roy, and Kennedy?
Yep.
So I'll ask for both of our February school committee.
Well, again, it doesn't have to be a school committee night.
It doesn't need to be a school
committee. I mean,
I think that might be a good starting point.
I mean, sure. I mean, there's
so
no question, but it doesn't have to.
Because none
from,
of the other meetings.
From the community calendar perspective, that Monday is open. That Tuesday, the 13th, is open. So there's no other,
okay,
school events.
So February 13th is
the school committee.
The school committee meeting is there. The rail trail has a meeting, but that's the only thing currently on the calendar. Now, granted, not everything's out there that far in advance, but at least all the music calendar is integrated in there. There's no music events that night.
What about the, can you look at the other one, which would be the fourth Tuesday?
That was just, that was even cleaner. There was no other meeting. The school committee was the only meeting,
okay,
that night.
So that could be your snow night. Try for the first one.
I'm just thinking it would be good to go with two dates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't put the dates back to back.
Right. So I will take that.
It's the same storm.
Right. Especially if there are blizzards coming.
We've all learned that.
So that's the 27th.
Well,
right,
in my experience, this is the earliest we've ever talked budget and strategy. So I think we made a good step here.
Can I revisit one item?
Mm-hmm. No.
early on, you had broken down the communication into two groups, and one of the groups that Vanessa had mentioned was three new school committee members. And one of the things that Miriam and I can do is kind of like a budget 101 workshop with the new school committee members to go through,
mm-hmm,
some key,
sure,
pieces,
yeah, yeah,
right, related. And that would be, as I think about the time frame, you know, maybe somewhere in like the December time frame, to have those, have them come in for that purpose. So I just wanted to.
The sooner the better, because, you know, they'll be here on the 8th, is the 8th the election?
Seventh.
Seventh.
You're going on the 8th.
Organization.
I feel like we did it in like a big setting like this. You did your whole PowerPoint, and I remember feeling overwhelmed, and even with some level of. Some level of school level, school experience, I didn't ask questions, whereas I think in a 3-on-1, a 3-on-2, I think people would be more apt to ask you those kind of questions that they don't understand as you're going through it, and you could go through slide by slide and explain, even if you're using last year's as a model of what you did last year as a jumping off point.
All right.
Sounds good.
We're in a better place, so. Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for participating, and let's call. Do we need to vote to adjourn?
No.
Let's just adjourn. Out of here. Thank you.
Thank you.
This brings the recording of the school committee budgeting workshop to a close. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you like this, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we continue to make improvements. Thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at SureSteve, SHERSTEVE, at gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.